I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have the communist vegans at the BBC destroyed your faith in humanity? Are you worried that watching too much football has made you racist? Why not take your mind off of society's ills by getting some culture? The Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to bring you an audiobook of your choice for free. Sign up for a free one-month trial with no obligation to continue and claim your audiobook now by visiting audible.co.uk/footballramble.
Get your pistols out, ladies and gentlemen, and remove the safety catch. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and I've got Jim with me.
Hello. Please don't actually shoot us.
Yeah, member of the NRA, Marcus Speller. Unbelievable.
Don't you worry about that, Jimmy. Pete.
Hello.
And Luke.
All right.
Gents, what an FA Cup special we've got today, because there was no Premier League to talk about.
Yeah, because we wouldn't have done a show anyway, would we?
Yeah. But well, we're going to start, though, with asking a question. Let's break from tradition. Which transfer in this window has taken your fancy, Jim?
Oh, my favourite transfer of the window. It's the big one. It's an obvious one to talk about. You know, it's everyone's... probably got this in their mind. It's Trinidad and Tobago star Chris Burchill returning from Columbus Crew to Port Vale.
Wow.
I was unaware.
That's a big one. Where have you been?
From the CC to the PV.
Not paying attention, Jim. Yeah. That's where I've been.
Well, step
go,
up.
Go for the obvious one, yeah?
Yeah, well, someone has it. I've freed you up, haven't I?
Yeah,
by getting that one out of the way.
I'm Jim. I go first, so I do the one that everyone wants to do.
That was the elephant in the room, and well done for getting rid of that.
You're welcome.
If you want to go first, well done, then Chris. Sit next to me.
How do you think he'll do, Jim?
You know, everyone thinks he'll do. it's so obvious, I don't even want to say.
I'm just tired of hearing about it, to be honest.
Oh, dear.
So many column inches.
Yeah. One of only a handful of cities in England that have two football teams. Stoke City and Port Vale.
There you go.
So, yeah. Pete, what have you got? Beat that, big
mine
boy.
Mine is ex-Pompey legend, Tal Ben-Ahim.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that move.
What? Ben-Ahim linking up with Harry Redknapp again?
Let me wrap that issue up in two words. Football reasons.
As a professional, we can play all across the back. Yeah.
But would you say that move is perhaps enveloped by other reasons?
Yeah. Couldn't possibly lend any credence to that claim.
I love that. He's a professional. Literally everyone who's eligible to be signed is a professional.
Yeah. He's a professional.
The base, you know,
or will
limit.
Be when you sign them. Because that's the nature of how it works.
Him or Sturridge.
Okay. Luke.
I've been quite interested in what Galatasaray have been doing. Big moves.
Yeah.
Big moves.
Which
shakes.
One? Which one?
Well, Schneider.
Schneider.
One. Yeah, that one's a Schneider. Happened, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, Schneider.
No, yeah, fine. Whatever.
Yeah. And news coming through on Den Wires late on tonight that Didier Drogba's done a deal as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't know where Galatasaray are getting their money from, but probably overspending. They get a
get it in while you can.
But one thing I did read about it is there's a low tax rate in Turkey. I think it's only 15% for top earners, so that's obviously attractive to the player. But I think part of Schneider's deal is a sort of a performance related thing anyway.
Lingerie.
Did you see him arriving?
Was he mobbed?
It was like...
Was he mobbed like Darius Vassell?
It was like Vassell mania. It really was. It was like Hulkamania meets Vassell mania.
What about Anelka to Juve?
Well, that was the one I was going to have. I was going to have... That's fine. I'll win the points some other week. Anelka and Drogba. They're gone from... They're not having a good time there.
No.
I tell you what, though. Yakubu's not going anywhere, is he?
he's like a dog with two dicks. Drogba's been on the phone to all the European clubs, like, just ringing. All right, Drogba, why are you ringing? No reason. What are you up to? Everything all right there, is it?
Need any filing done?
No, yeah.
It's not as good as I thought it would be. I've still got a bit more to offer. What about the yak? No.
Can't get hold of him. I haven't seen him for weeks.
He's even going to training.
Yeah,
all it's that
see,
easy.
All we see is a load of credit card receipts and him smoking outside around the back of the changing room. Yeah. Don't worry about me. He just sent a postcard saying, all fine.
Don't bother with the next couple of years.
He's loving it.
Jim's got the points.
Oh, Chris Birtle's got the points. Really.
Yakubu's got the points.
Very true. Right then, it's my great pleasure to say that we're going to talk about the FA Cup because there was upsets galore, and we're going to start with Loldham Athletic versus Liverpool, and it was 3-2 to Athletic. An unbelievably good win, Jim.
That was brilliant. They were fantastic. Liverpool just never seemed to deal with their presence, you know, just the physical side of the game. It was
they battered them. They really did. They dicked on them.
That last goal was brilliant. Their last goal was brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, what a looping header.
Loopies.
Lovely bit of work. Mm.
Yeah. I wrote something today and described it as a physical beating, which is what it was. They were agricultural, weren't they? A couple of Oldham fans said to me on Twitter that you wouldn't believe how much that's been lacking in our game in the league this year.
And they're well, annoyed they're not they doing very well.
I mean, it's as simple as them stepping up to the occasion, isn't it? Mm. It must be. They just pumped for it, and they were just ready for it. And the young lad who scored the goal, what was his name?
Matt Smith.
No, got the third one.
Oh, Wabara.
He's on loan from Man City, isn't he? And obviously he's got a bit of quality in him there. So,
and Jose Baxter as well, on loan from Everton. That's a class act.
Mm. But sadly, Paul Dickhoff still looks like he's going to get sacked anyway.
Paul Dickhoff's haircut is exactly what Oldham are like. Like, old-fashioned, no-nonsense, and essentially a bit shit.
Mm. What about Oldham's ground? The stand behind the goal.
Yeah.
Look, if you're
nice,
back row...
Nice to see.
It's one of those ones where if you're back row, then don't stand up. You have to give it that one. With the old crane and the neck.
Falling apart like old ham.
Ah.
Matt Smith, who scored two, the guy who's not been playing league football for long. Mm. Nuisance value.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He's a human tractor, that bloke.
This is what I love about the FA Cup. Like, you see players like that and you think, oh my goodness, well, let's check out their league form.
There's this episode there's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart's trying to get Lisa to do something for him. So he says something like, I'm just going to walk towards you punching and kicking, and if you happen to be in my way, then that's your problem. Mm. And that was kind of how Matt Smith played.
That's Matt Smith's mantra. Yeah. But basically, it was like when you play when you're younger and you look at the other kids in the school team and you go, oh, they're all older than us, aren't they? Mm. That's what the back four are thinking about Matt Smith. Is he older than us? He's got a moustache.
We sort of say that there was all these upsets in the cup. You wouldn't know it to look at like Saturday's broadcast schedule, you know what I mean? Like Fulham, Man U, who are the old chores? I know they've got to put bums on seats at ESPN, but I mean, goodness mate,
it's almost like they don't get a chance to do all Premier League games hardly at all, so they get one every so often, so they have to take advantage.
One of my charming housemates told me that the Manchester, they haven't played an FA Cup match.
Who, Man United?
Which has not been televised for something like 25
years. No, it's since 2005.
Oh, is it 2005?
It's the last time Man United played an FA Cup game that wasn't televised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long while.
Yeah.
The team that has ritually belittled that competition. That one.
Yeah, them.
The magic of the FA Cup.
Yeah, but it wasn't televised because they just didn't play it. Yeah.
But people are dying to see what Fulham are like on the road. Yeah.
So, I think Fulham are dying to see that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'll kick in one day.
But going back to Oldham, Brad Jones was absolutely woeful.
Oh, yeah,
more times are we going to have to flag up Brad Jones?
It wasn't a day for keepers.
Yeah, Matt Smith couldn't believe it, that second one.
He's got that kind of face, though, where he's got that face where when he muffs up, he sort of goes,
meow.
Yeah. He looks like a high school bully in an American film who gets his comeuppance.
I think he looks like quite a nice guy.
You reckon?
Well, maybe during interviews, he smiled his way to the top, which is very rare for a professional footballer, unless you're Ronaldinho, but he was bloody excellent.
I forget who it was, but wasn't Matt Smith, but one of the forward players for Oldham, went in slightly late on Brad Jones when he fumbled one early on, and Brad Jones went mental, and Skeltel got involved, and you saw the striker as he walked off. He gave him a little look to Brad Jones and doesn't say, get used to that one, pal.
Yeah.
You've got 80 minutes left.
That's called the Mark Hateley.
You said on Twitter that he had every right to go for that ball. I saw that and I was like, coming from Loki Lady Moore.
Different philosophies. That's a clash. We'll get to yours when we get the African Cup of Nations.
When you get up to the senior team, Pete. that's how we roll.
We'll not have that.
Yeah. You've got to go in 100%. 110 if you've got it.
I felt sympathetic towards it because it was I could imagine myself in that position. I should go for that, but I'm so slow. Yeah. By the time I do get it, it's going to look bad.
And the goalkeeper is just going to have to live with it.
Yeah, he will. Yeah. He had 8 minutes left to deal with that. Maybe fumble the next one, though.
But if you get it right, everybody's in the net.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully the ball as well. Yeah.
But Liverpool had a strong side out. That's one of the really sort of baffling things about that result.
And Gerrard nearly at the end. It was one of those Steven Gerrard ones. He's like, oh, I always have to do this. And it's kind of bang off the bar. And he's like, oh, crap.
Brendan Rodgers was very critical. He said, you know, we can't keep relying on Steven Gerrard to get us out of these problems. Mm. You know, the team was good enough, and I'm disappointed with the young players who came in, which he's got every right to say, I think.
All right, Pardew, that's what he's been bleating on about. Oh, wait, oh, the young players aren't good enough. Yeah. All right, you get on the bloody pitch, old man.
You picked the team.
Yeah. Sammy Amiobi, you had the blueprint in Shola, for God's sake. You know what that family like. Tommy plays in Iceland, for God's sake.
Do you reckon they're in like a lab, a scientist? Just one more little change around. Yeah.
I mean, some of them said, I played with a lad who played in Iceland. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not difficult. It's not, anyone fancies it.
Sammy, who's your brother? Fastening Aspria? You're in. What's your surname?
Dear, oh dear.
But a good win for Oldham. Anyway.
A great win for Oldham.
And Paul Nicol saved his job for another couple of weeks.
For an afternoon. What about Leeds versus Spurs? Leeds won 2-1. Not such a golfing cost as Leeds in the Championship. But still a brilliant
still
win.
Still a shock.
It's a massive shock, yeah. And Luke Varney. Remember him?
Yeah.
He just pops out, doesn't he? Yeah. And McCormack with an absolute beauty.
That was an absolute screamer. That was just beautiful.
Yeah, Varney's finish was nice, though, composed.
It was, but McCormack's was the pick of the bunch.
Nice. Yeah, he should have had another one later on, but, you know, I don't think he'll care too much about that.
They'd already won the game, Jim.
Nice to see X-Man City, what's his name? He comes from Hartlepool. I've played football with him before. He's played for Man City. He's a nasty little fucker, midfield.
Paul Dickel.
Oh, Michael Brown?
Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah.
What was the weird situation when you played football with him? Weren't you playing football in a park and he just rode past on a bike?
Yeah, and just started playing football. No, he came.
No, that was a man with a hammer. Was it?
Yeah, then a man with a hammer turned up and played Trevor Sinclair. And and it just got a bit weird, to be honest. But every time I see him, because he inexplicably has had quite a long career.
Trevor Sinclair, Michael Brown, Sven must have been involved. Yeah. Hartlepool,
he was a gone.
Michael Brown's just your ultimate sort of journeyman hatchet man, though, isn't it? I suppose there'll always be a team that will take him.
The thing I'd be annoyed about if I was a Spurs fan is that you knew going into the game what Leeds would do. Neil Warnock's the manager, Michael Brown, Al Jufer in there, some other sort of quite physical, robust players. They're going to get after them straight away, and they did. And someone with I know he's been out injured for a while, but someone with the quality of Scott Parker in that type of fixture should have dealt with that a lot better.
Yeah, they defended like sleepwalkers. Yeah, it was crazy.
And Spurs fan went off, just Vertonghen and looked pissed. He just looked battered. I don't know what he was doing.
But Leeds absolutely love it, don't they? The big cup draws. They really rise to the occasion.
Ellen Road as well.
Often as well.
But for what Leeds fans have been through in the last 10 years or however long it's been since they went into the situation they're in now, it must just be a reminder of what they used to have when you have a team like Spurs coming along. So they're going to be so up for it.
Of course.
And they're away to Manchester City.
But I also just one final point on the game.
It's the firm's getting involved there.
I think Brad Friedel was a big sort of reason for their defeat as well, because Lloris is really good coming off his line. Spurs play quite a high line, ball over the top. Friedel just sticks on his line all the time.
He's 50.
He's actually trying to run out, you just can't tell.
He just sees it last minute. Actually, I think he does very well considering.
gets a bit of a stick at half time. Do you know how old I am? Of course I'm going to keep taking the money.
I don't think you can blame Spurs woes on Friedel.
I'm not blaming the whole thing, but I'm just saying the system doesn't.
Friedel's an excellent keeper.
He's not, though, is he? He's a brilliant keeper,
a magnificent shot stopper.
Fine, I don't agree with that, but fair enough.
That's the least
without number,
and that's how you win.
You win 2-1.
That's how you win. Just like Leeds. possibly the result of the weekend for many would have been QPR 2 Milton Keynes Dons 4. I mean, they were 4-0 up after 50, but the game was over. They're away to a Premier League side and the game was over after 50 minutes.
QPR don't need a cup run, to be fair.
No.
Well, it's just as well.
Yeah. Well, they put that to bed, didn't they?
The fourth one went in, like, you could see some of the players trying to, like, just give it up, going, this is a dream. This has to be a dream. This is ridiculous. This can't really be happening.
No, Bellerin was going, this has to be a dream. I'm playing in the Premier League. Keep it up. I am a lower half of the Championship player. Very best.
Yeah, tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Mackay his?
Yeah, I think it might be actually. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Standard.
Good to see Redknapp getting away, scot free in the press as well.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not Harry's fault.
No.
Because if it was Harry's fault, it would have been 2-0.
It was whoever picked Boothroyd and DJ Campbell up front, and Anton Ferdinand, Talbot at the back. That was his fault, it was.
Rob Green in goal.
Yeah.
To be fair, Rob Green, I think it was at fault with any of the goals in particular, but you'd imagine Cesar would have.
Boothroyd and Campbell up front, it's just that he's.
What I'm saying is, if Cesar was there, they might have got a replay.
Rob Green's real name is Rob Green.
And a transfer request from Cesar.
Is that right? Yeah. Sorry?
And a transfer request from Cesar.
Oh, my goodness.
But I was going to say that it's interesting. ABB got a lot of stick in the Express today.
He did.
For apparently not respecting the values of the cup.
Well, he never has. Even before he came to England, he hated it.
But Redknapp got nothing.
So Leeds only won because Andre Villas-Boas was disrespecting the competition.
No, because ABB is Portuguese. That's basically why he's won. Yeah.
And he's not Jose Mourinho. Yeah.
No.
Because Mourinho never disrespects anything or anybody, as we'll come on to later.
Of morality, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. But a fabulous, fabulous win for MK Dons. And it's one of those, I mean, seldom do you see a side much lower down than a Premier League side. And it is that when the third goes in, it's the fans' reaction. They know that it'll never happen again, and they go extra wild. Do you know what I mean? If that's just
both the MK Dons fans were going mad.
Oh, no, there was a few of them.
I think by the end of it, I don't know if they even noticed they conceded two goals. You know, they just didn't care.
They probably celebrated their two goals as well. Yeah, you know, ironically. It was one of those.
Give it that one. Well done, lads.
Oh, great stuff. But we're not even done with the Premier League
with the
killings. With the cup sets. Millwall beat Aston Villa 2-1.
I'm looking at the list here. There are genuinely loads to go. It was crazy this weekend. It was brilliant.
Millwall were actually favourites going to that game. Like, they were. They genuinely were booking favourites going to that game.
Well, they're having an alright season, Millwall. And Aston Villa certainly are not. But it's
Danny Murphy. They need Danny Murphy in there.
I've had a lot of support on my Facebook page for that.
Support.
Mockery.
Support.
Yeah. The word Danny Murphy in capitals with a question mark and an exclamation mark is not support.
Yeah. Who do you think you are? Brendan Rodgers.
Well, maybe sign Brad Friedel then.
Well,
stick him in the middle.
Genuinely, what has become apparent is how much they miss Stylian Petrov. He's the gap in the midfield there that Danny Murphy might be the man to fill.
Yeah, or Brad Friedel.
Brad
Friedel had an excellent. He's got proven at Villa.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Don't start with me. But there was another Danny. Danny Shittu.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Mm. And it's cruel for Villa because they didn't want to go to Millwall because it's a tough game. And they lost in the last minute as well. Couldn't get any worse for them.
I know. But we will mention Villa's other cup exploits. In a short while.
Explosions.
Yeah, that's right. Millwall, we move on to another upset. It was Luton Town winning 1-0 away to Norwich City. A fabulous result for Luton, keeping a clean sheet.
They beat Wolves in the previous round as well.
Yeah, in the conference.
Yes,
yeah. Unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, what else can one say? One running out of superlatives.
There's only seven Premier League teams left in the FA Cup now.
Yeah.
One of them's Chelsea. Just
about.
They drew.
I thought they were poor.
They drew to all away to Brentford. Forrester had a funny afternoon. He had a very interesting afternoon. He was in the thick of it. But I thought Oscar scored a lovely one.
Oh, it was magnificent. Goal. I mean, the build-up to that goal, I think Brentford, they were 1-0 up at that point, weren't they? I think they were riding on their confidence a little too much because they were trying to sort of pass it around like they were Barcelona and they just get caught out on it. Yeah, yeah. And then Oscar it was a magnificent bit of skill, wasn't it? Just sort of shuffle past a couple of players, hit it early. He's such a brilliant player already, such an exciting prospect because hopefully he'll be around in the league for a long time. But they were poor overall. What I found really funny was when Torres scored, obviously he'd been getting a bit of stick from the Brentford fans because he went over to him and gave it the whole sort of shut up hand gesture, and Ashley Cole went over to him and went, "Oi, stop." How low do you have to have sunk Ashley Cole to be telling you how to behave?
Ashley Cole's your moral compass.
Bloody hell.
I thought Chelsea had far too many passes. I thought Ross Towne was not that good a keeper, simple as that.
That was a strange signing when they made it, and it's proven to make no sense.
Keeper with a little bit of potential isn't going to get any better by never playing.
Absolutely.
And then there are players like Marin, Torres, Terry was poor as well. Marin was a complete passenger.
Marin was sort of in Germany. Chelsea were laughed at for signing him. It's like do they think he's Marco Reus? Do they think he's someone else? Because he's not quite lived up to the hype that he first came with.
He can't stay fit. I mean, he's at Bremen, wasn't he? He can't stay fit. Loads of people over this side who know much more about German football than me were like, well, there's a chance he could do something, but he's never really proven it. And so it was a bit bit of a strange signing. But I tell you, I think it was Marine who got a good old fashioned FA Cup kick early on. And after that, he just wasn't interested. He didn't want to know. And Terry just looks.
Terry
leaden-footed.
Terry and Turnbull gave away a pass back.
Former England captain. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of the ESPN commentators were going, "That's a red." So literally not a red. You can't give a red for that. It's in the laws of the game. You cannot give a red for that.
Is it just me, or does the idea of Dembaba wearing blue gloves hurt me more than him wearing an actual Chelsea shirt? I don't know.
Does
why.
It
just really sort of like, he's a bit bright in it. Yeah, put some black gloves on. It's
rubbing your face in it.
Yeah.
Would you like him to have a pair of red and white gloves on?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it, eh? Right then, Stoke City, another Premier League team to go out, but it was Manchester City who eliminated them, so that's fair enough. I think we can agree.
It's a big win for City because they got the monk of the bat with Stoke. They've got a terrible record at the Britannia.
Everyone has a terrible record at the Britannia. It's just so hard to beat there.
Lee Dixon said something quite interesting, which was that Man City, the idea of them playing Stoke away is worse than actually playing them, because they've got this sort of hoodoo around it, and for them to actually get it off their back's a good thing. Zabaleta is such a good player.
I was going
to
say they needed the captain.
He's a great player, isn't he?
I think him and Mata have been both my favourite Premier League footballers.
Brilliant.
They've
both been excellent.
They've both been excellent.
Zabaleta is such an athlete as well.
Yeah, he's just absolute tank as well. Just does not tire.
Seems like a nice bloke as well. Lovely teeth.
They're certainly very big.
Bit of a Zabaleta loving today. But
yes,
I'm happy with that. It's about time.
Yeah.
Fancy a Giroud loving.
Oh, yeah, he was brilliant. It's been great in recent weeks.
They have Arsenal beat Brighton 3-2 away. Good game.
Yeah, it was.
Lovely bit of passing
game.
Play.
A lot of silly defending from Arsenal again, but we managed to dig ourselves out of it.
I thought it was one of those Theo's deflections.
It's one of those games where both teams deserve a lot of credit because Arsenal kept going ahead and Brighton kept pegging them back, didn't lose belief, and then Arsenal really overcame what is potentially a banana skin for them. That'll give them a lot of confidence because they're quite soft-centred, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah.
So that's a big win for them.
Giroud has been very good. To be honest, I actually really rate him.
He's had a bit of a rough time from the supporters lately, but I think they're venting frustration at everything about the club, so everyone's getting it in the neck. But it took him a while to sort of score, but he's got 13 goals already. He set himself a target of 15 for the season, because I think that's what he got in his first major season at Montpellier, he's doing really well. He and Podolski, I think Podolski's on 11 now as well. They were brought in, the pair of them, to replace Van Persie's goals, and they're not far behind it.
No,
is there a lot to his game?
Yeah, there is, and it's something different. It's something Arsenal don't have, and they're very different though. The goals he scored of late, he can just get on the end of crosses in a way that a lot of Arsenal forwards haven't been able to do in the past.
He could become that striker that they've been crying out for a while. The guy to get on the end of crosses to actually put away a few chances. Maybe struggle with that slightly, but also to bring the other attacking players into play.
And he does that really well. He's got about 11 assists as well, and that's
fantastic for a striker.
Yeah, that's something we really need.
I just think give him a chance. I think he'll get 20 this season. That's his first season in the Premier League. French League is a good sort of breeding ground for Premier League strikers, but he still needs to step up a little bit. Doing that.
I mean, his confidence is growing with every game, and he's getting better for it. So be positive, Arsenal fans. Not like the ones in the stadium that started a funk.
Thanks for that link. Did it for me. A few Arsenal fans were fighting because some charming chaps on
presumably field. Presumably involved some sort of duelling glove.
I would have thought so.
Probably involved a spilt Miller Light or something.
a banner was unfurled, which read, "Arsene, thanks for the memories, but it's time to say goodbye."
Why would you get annoyed by that? Well, can you basically starting a fight because someone's got a different opinion?
Yeah, it's moronic. Yeah. It really is.
Some people just can't stand goodbyes.
I tell you what, it comes to something when that's actually spreading to Arsenal fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sebastian, fans. I disagree with you. Rupert, we'll still duke outside.
Yeah. Arsenal away fans are slightly different breed.
They very much are. They're very vocal and they're very good, actually.
Yeah. Well, at least they're allowed to unfurl banners, let's just say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really stupid. Obviously, they were thrown out for fighting, but...
That is stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, but the whole lot... It does seem to be that... Yeah, but there's a dim view of banners in this country, and they just think, what's the problem with them?
Well, sometimes, as we mentioned a week or two ago, they don't even let them unfurl them, man. Bloody hell. It's only a banner.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something racist or anything, what's the problem?
Don't ban the banner.
Yeah,
is what I'd say. Depending on what's written on it, of course.
Yeah.
Everton.
It's quite a polite banner. It starts off by saying, "Thanks for the memories."
I think people should just get like really sort of inane banners. Yeah. If you got in the football this weekend, just get like a bed sheet with just the word "shit cock" on it or something. that refers to nothing.
Let's have a goal.
Boofles.
Yeah. someone do a banner which says footballs on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Football. If you go into the football this weekend, take a footballs banner and send us your pictures.
Football.
When I went to Wycombe Wanderers versus AFC Wimbledon a few weeks ago, I tried to start a chant of "We like football more than you," but no one was up for it
because they don't.
No.
I think probably my favourite chant is the Brighton fans when they get homophobic chants directed at them saying "You're too ugly to be gay."
Nah, nice. Excellent. Right, Everton, they won 2-1 away to Bolton, and it was Johnny Huntington in the last minute.
Wasn't it also Moyes' 500th game in charge? Something like that.
Well done him.
Well done him.
And I would manage 500 games
and I would manage 500 more. Hopefully.
If I get some investment.
Yeah.
If I get some assurances about the financial state of my club in 5 years' time.
If the chairman allows it. Middlesbrough, a lot of late drama there against Aldershot. Djukovic scoring in the 96th minute. When the shots had pulled it back to 1-1,
a long trip for them as well.
Yeah. It was a long trip. It's a shame. Imagine if they got Middlesbrough. We've all been to you and I have been to Aldershot's ground.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kieran Dyer's moving to Middlesbrough.
On a pay as you play.
Good luck with
He'd
that one.
He'd be better off getting a job.
Yeah.
And if you can hear a slight sort of buzzing in the background, I've got an extra computer on the go because I'm rendering a 9-hour video of Tony Mowbray playing saxophone.
Yeah.
It's taking bloody ages.
But how did that come about? Chairman on the phone. I've got Dyer in the Kieran Dyer in the reception. He says he's not going until he speaks to someone. Oh, bring him in. He says he
needs someone to wheel him out.
Yeah, Kieran, what are you doing here?
He said, watch this. It's your England debut against Luxembourg at Wembley. Yeah, you can make a few good runs.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Pay as you play.
Yeah, maximum.
No.
Yeah. All right, give us £3 subs every week. You can play.
He can run in a straight line. It's just the turning and the, living life is the problem.
Well, you should be all right for England then.
Was it you mentioned last week or away from the show that he kept getting injured because he was pumping his girlfriend too much?
No. Why would I even get that information from?
Just saying that's what the girl, I think, might have said. I might cross wires it, but I think that's what his girlfriend said to the papers at some point.
Firstly, footballers don't pump, they romp.
Yes, they do. I meant Nookie.
And secondly, Pete's wicked whispers stopped years ago.
Yeah. Since he got sacked for the Sun over the hacking inquiry.
The 3 a.m. Geordie.
I was the fake shake. I was rubbish at it.
Fake shake. Wait a minute, Pete Donaldson. You were hacking people's phones. That's all you got.
Oh dear. Right, are we done with the FA Cup?
Yeah,
I think we are. Let's go on to the Capital One Cup. Bradford City, here we go. They're in the final. Now Scottish, they beat Aston Villa, of course.
Bradford Swansea is just that's such a mouth-watering final because it's whoever wins, I'm delighted.
Even the French would appreciate that, wouldn't they, with their glorious competition.
Get Carboni back on loan.
They need to win this to pay off his wages.
Yeah, I'm still paying it. Yeah,
big Stan.
Yeah, get him in. I tell you what a set of performances.
Yeah,
because like, I know they knocked out Wigan and Arsenal before that, but to beat a Premier League team, okay, is Aston Villa, but to beat a Premier League
over
two legs is excellent. Yeah. It is excellent.
And watching the second leg after they won 3-1 in the home game, Aston Villa, it was like they thought, right. Enough's enough. Yeah. We've got the flags out. We've actually got a decent capacity in this ground.
Yeah.
We're going to go for it. And they bombard it. And you just thought,
at half time, you thought it was well set for Villa, didn't you?
Yeah, you thought, Villa, then they get the goal. And then suddenly, oh no.
One thing I noticed watching Bradford over the few games, I mean, I've not seen him in the league very much, but the games I saw him in the Capital One Cup, their set piece delivery is better than most Premier League teams.
Yeah.
There's no nonsense. They got a guy who whips it in, and their centre backs and their centre forwards make runs, and they connect with it, and it works. All four goals they scored against Villa were from corners.
Yeah.
All four of them. And Villa couldn't deal with it. Mm. And I don't know if that's going to hurt Swansea in the final, but they got a chance.
But when you've got a set piece, it doesn't really, if you know what I mean by this, it doesn't matter too much what league you're playing in. If you've got a guy who can put his head on the ball, and you've got someone who can do a decent delivery, then attack it, you've got a chance.
There'll be players in the fourth tier, both centre backs and centre forwards, who will be top draw in the air. Be decent in the air.
You're not going to carve Villa open and play some wonderful moves if Bradford City. The chances of that happening are quite slim.
Swansea are a slick team though, and I imagine they'll obviously be aware of this. And I can't imagine
they would give away too many
free kicks in stupid areas.
Can they be bullied though?
If they can, I mean that's still not going to help Bradford.
What Villa were doing was exactly what they shouldn't have been doing, which was like Fabian Delph and one or two others were just giving free kicks away early on. It's like, what are you playing at?
I know.
I feel a bit sorry for Lambert on that front because that's surely what he's told them to not do, and they're doing it straight away.
Well, in the other game, Swansea did beat Chelsea 2-0 on aggregate, 0-0 in Wales, and the Eden Hazard business was dominating.
God, that was unbelievable.
The stories.
That ball boy, what a bell end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely. The bell end door should be dedicated to that child. Like, I mean, he's 17 years old, isn't he? And yeah. His dad's a director at the club, I think. And
he's
right, laying on the ball. Mm. It's outrageous.
Are you following him on Twitter?
I'm not, although good. I did look at his Twitter feed, and he'd tweeted someone called Charlie. He had the handle at Charlie, and just said, DM me, I want to buy your Twitter feed off of you, or Twitter name off of you. It's like, you have just got too much money, haven't you? God. You were trying to buy someone's Twitter name.
I feel sorry that the FF stepped in. I mean, surely Hazard's got a ban, that's that. You know, it's a red card. Yeah. Fine. You know,
I don't think he kicked him either.
No, but it is technically a red card, because I think it's something, there's a law. Course. It says, you know, against a supporter or a member of staff or something like that, so you just get a red. But why have the FA stepped in? What are they going to do?
Am I the only one
who found that kid facing any sanction?
Well, he's a ball boy. Am I the only one who's in the whole world who seems to find Hazard's conduct a bit shocking?
I think it's
horrible. Do you think?
But it's sort
kicking,
of,
you're aiming a kick at a ball boy.
No, he wasn't, was he? He was kicking the ball from under him.
And also, the ball boy had tweeted before the game saying he was really good at time wasting, and then laid on the ball during the game.
I know it's a 23-year-old having a go at a 17-year-old, you know, I understand that. But at the end of the day, it's a ball boy.
Mm.
Is it just me? Like,
well, I mean, let me.
It's still fairly shocking behaviour from a professional footballer.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he should.
If we talk about rich people, I imagine Hazard's got a few.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with rich people or not. And obviously, he shouldn't have done it. But what I'm saying is, he was sent off for it, rightly so, and that's that.
But what I'm saying is that the groundswell of support for Eden Hazard, I find it completely just completely damning. Correct.
Well, especially everyone's been a knob in the situation. No one's coming out of it.
I mean, I remember Wimbledon. When Tiger Tim Henman, he smashed a ball in aggression in the net and it hit the ball boy in the head and he got banned. I mean, there was none of this support for Tiger Tim.
True. Free Tim. Hashtag probably.
Yeah, fist pump.
But Eden Hazard
is paid to be irrelevant? Sorry.
It's paid to be a stand-up member of the community, the football community, and a ball boy is not. If the ball boy's a bit of a tit, he's a ball boy, you know what I mean?
The ball boy shouldn't really be there. The ball boy's are traditionally like 13, 14-year-old academy players. He's only a ball boy because his dad's the majority shareholder.
Absolutely. And Swansea...
And Hazard knew this, Pete.
No club can have ball boys like openly time-wasting to the point where they're laying on a football.
He's a ball boy, though. He's not a footballer. I don't understand.
No, but he's representing Swansea, and he's trying
to... No, he's not.
Of course he is.
He's a ball boy. He was a bit of a tit.
He's a ball boy put on by Swansea.
How is he representing Swansea?
Because they put on the ball boys.
He's wearing a Swansea tracksuit at a game.
No, what I'm saying is that he's a ball boy, and he's not a professional footballer. And I do not go to a football match to watch a ball boy. And I do not, you know, see ball boys.
But you're completely undermining your own point. No one goes to watch a ball boy. Why is he doing it? Everyone has to watch him because he's lying on the ball.
What I'm saying is that he is not paid to be an upstanding member of the community. Eden Hazard is.
The longer this goes...
But Pete, the ball boys aren't freelancers. They come from within the club.
Yeah.
They should be freelancers.
Not always. I know people who are being ball boys. Are just, you know, you get, you know, £5 and then
I get a ball boys from outside.
Let me put it another way, right? Basically, Eden Hazard has been banned for 3 games. I think that's fair. Mm. The FA have stepped in.
I agree.
He'll probably get another couple of games. And look what Glenn Whelan did to blooming Javi Garcia in that Man City Stoke game.
Yeah.
He's getting nothing for that. Mm. Nothing. He could have ended someone's career.
Not even a ball boy.
Well, I completely agree with both of those. I'm going to go Eden Hazard. I don't think he should be banned anymore. I'm just saying that the way the press has reported it, the way that, you know, pretty much every professional footballer, including Michael fucking Owen, is going, oh, I can't believe that ball boy did that. He's a fucking ball boy.
But I think the point you're maybe missing is if you look at it as a timeline from start to finish, he goes on Twitter saying he's in a time waste. He gets the ball.
Time waste.
He's supposed to give it back. He time wastes by lying on top of the ball. The player comes and kicks it out from under him. He pretends to be injured and gets carried off. The police get called and he goes, oh, I'm not pressing charges. And all we're saying is he's acting like a twat because he is acting like a twat.
I know, but he's a ball boy and he's not a professional footballer. I don't.
Right, so people who aren't professional footballers don't act like
above reproach.
Yeah.
No. I'm just saying that Eden Hazard is way more in the wrong than the ball boy.
They're both in the wrong, is what we're saying.
The longer this goes on, the more I realise that my Tim Henman example is just not really...
Do you want me to give you a Dulwich Hamlet versus Leatherhead story?
Yes.
To bring this back to grassroots.
I'd like to sum up the Eden Hazard thing. It's all just a big shame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right, next time we're on the battlefield and I jump on a grenade, I want you to kick that grenade from underneath me.
I will.
But give him a dig in the ribs.
Yeah, I will. You'll get a good old broken rib.
Jim, you tweet about it. Right, go on.
I should finish by saying I got digged in the ribs a couple of times when I was 17. Didn't do me any harm. Dulwich Hamlet versus Leatherhead. Leatherhead, your old stomping ground, Marcus.
I've played at that ground a few times for their reserves
on
occasion, and cup finals as well.
It's in the Isthmian League, I forget which division, but Dulwich Hamlet went to Leatherhead. Dulwich Hamlet are doing well, actually.
It's a tough place to go, Leatherhead.
Well, they went 2-0 up. Listen to this, right? They went 2-0 up in the 78th minute. And the player who scored the goal for Dulwich Hamlet came over to celebrate with the fans. And the fans, there's about 200 of them, but 30 or 40 of them rushed down to celebrate with him. Knocked a wall over.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Only a small wall, and it was nowhere near the pitch, and it was cleaned up.
This is at Leatherhead?
Yeah.
At the Grove?
Yeah, the players.
Fetchum Grove.
The players for Leatherhead, they were 2-0 down in the 78th minute, successfully lobbied the referee to cancel and call off the game.
Yes.
And then, when they went off, the striker in the head was giving it that one. Go on, get in there.
Had you have not told me which teams that were, and you just the store, I'd have gone, that happened at Leatherhead, didn't it? Yeah, I know that club too
so
well.
So apparently the game's got to be replayed.
That is
ridiculous.
Why? Because a wall fell over?
Yeah. Apparently health and safety, Pete.
San Martin.
Well, gone mad, Sam. Hasn't it? Hey?
I heard, though, that San Martin Palermo at the same time got injured, so I don't know whether they're related.
That score.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd sum that up by saying classic Leatherhead.
So a ball boy knocked a wall over.
Yeah.
Got sent off.
Oh dear. Right, before we leave the Great British Isles, we're going to go to Scotland because there was the Scottish League Cup was played. And the magnificent Corky Boys are in the final, Jim. It's not all doom and gloom.
The game was played at Easter Road as well, wasn't it?
The game was played at Easter Road, so it was two fingers to the Hibbies.
Marcus at thefootballramble.com.
I never gave any fingers because I wasn't there. But no, it was they won on penalties after being down to 10 men. Ngou on loan from Liverpool. Score for Hearts.
And St Mirren knocked out Celtic in the other game, didn't they?
I was going to say, now before you start thinking, well, Marcus, my old son, they're not going to win in the final.
Marcus, my old son, they ain't going to win the final.
Why?
Dick.
Because you think Celtic are there, but they're not. Because the buddies beat them 3-2.
Mm.
It's a St Mirren versus Hearts fight. It's the final we wanted.
Yeah.
And I think the Hearts have got a chance.
Yeah, I do as well.
We must say thank you to Carl Tompkins, who sent us a Hearts shirt, which is at my work.
Mm. We could all do the beatie in it.
Well, you don't need a shirt for the beatie.
Well, I
put
you it on
to take
off,
it off
again.
I left the letter at work. We'll read out next week or something.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. Grateful.
Yeah, and there's a burp just to confirm that.
I don't represent the football ramble. It's fine.
Yeah,
I just wandered in.
He's just a ball bag. Sweet. Now, in the league in Spain, Barcelona beat Osasuna 5-1. That'll happen. Messi got a haul and he became the youngest player ever to score 200 La Liga goals. He's got 33 goals in 21 games this season. He's scored more goals this season than all of the teams in La Liga, not put together, excluding Madrid, Atleti and Malaga.
I swear Opta have like a special like La Liga Messi guy who just looks after Messi's stats.
Just when you think there's nothing else
genuinely do by now.
Of course they will, but just when you think there's no other stats about Messi he can't achieve, he can't lose.
I just think they're looking too hard for them now. I don't think that record, nobody gave a toss about that record before he did it.
I saw a record the other day for Messi, which is he scored in every minute of a game apart from 7 different minutes, and it listed the minutes. I was like, give up, don't get a fucking beer.
No, but see, Messi's looking at these going, all right, this is my challenge. Yeah. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Telly's so good at the moment. Watch Smallland or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, he
don't tell our listeners to stop watching football, Pete.
if anyone would like to see the Homeland Ramble that I'm doing. Carrie's brilliant, isn't she? Well worth the Emmy.
Stop it.
but Messi, yeah? He's...
He's good, isn't he, Marcus? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, no, what I'm going to say is, and I'm aware that I might be very close to a cliche thing to say about the young chap, but he's really got to have an enormously good World Cup for me now. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's become probably the best club player ever, or certainly one of them. And it is just that. I mean, he's decent at international level. People seem to think he's rubbish for Argentina.
No, he's getting...
He's improved.
He's way up there now.
But you see what I mean? Like, the club form is just so ridiculously good.
But I think his international form is now matching that.
No,
I know what you mean.
He's beginning to, but it really will be all eyes on him in the World Cup. You know, obviously, I mean, I know that's a Tim Lovejoy-esque sort of punch. But
presumably they'll train at this World Cup, though. So, you know.
Exactly.
They'll have a better chance.
The manager might give some morning instructions. Yeah.
All the signals are pointing towards him.
Yeah,
doing
that's
that.
A point. Diego was in charge last time.
Because he's got his improvement, he's improving at international level. The next World Cup's in South America, and he's got great players around him. So there's no reason why he shouldn't do. Shouldn't do well.
But even if he doesn't, does it really mean that he can't be considered the best ever?
No, but I'm just saying that it would be fantastic if he could.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we'd all love to see
it. It's like him and Neymar that are going to come into the road, I think, in this. Mm. Yeah. It's going to be really, really exciting.
I mean, last calendar year, he scored 12, I think he scored 12 international goals, which is by far his best year.
Mm. And Theo Walcott as well.
And Neymar's the only sort of thing you've got with Neymar is that at international level, he's got no competitive fixtures. Brazil are something like 18th in the FIFA rankings now, aren't they? Because they've got no competitive games.
I think, though, with Brazil, it's...
Yeah,
with them being Brazil, with them being at home, I think they'll just fly out of the blocks. They'll be so raring to go for
unless they crumble under the pressure.
Well, I think with Neymar, I think that they are all friendlies, and I think he'll just express himself and have a good time, and he will be chomping at the bit for a competitive fixture. Right, this means something. I think it'll be probably a good thing. Mm. But anyway, back to La Liga. Real Madrid beat Getafe 4-0. And it would have to be in the same weekend as Messi grabbing the headlines here that Cristiano Ronaldo gets a 10-minute hat-trick and scores his 300th club goal. Now, he scores a hat-trick, he gets that achievement, Messi scores four, and then gets... He can't get away from him, can he? The poor lad, the second best player in the world.
Cristiano Ronaldo is basically becoming the football's Jimmy White.
Yeah, he is.
He's just unfortunate that there's another player or two around that are better than
The difference is White liked to give off the impression that he didn't mind.
No, exactly.
He's beginning to annoy me now. Yeah.
Whereas Ronaldo is basically turning into a human tantrum.
But still, though, a brilliant hat-trick it was. And 300 club goals. I mean, how
long has he been there?
Exactly. 26, is he?
Yeah. But how long has he been at the club, though?
No, it's not. It's overall.
Overall.
Oh, sorry.
So, okay. Not that great an achievement, actually. No, I don't know why I mentioned it. Now, Pep Guardiola, of course, he moved to Bayern Munich recently. We spoke about that. Jose Mourinho hadn't had his say when we had ours.
The world is waiting for.
So he waited for us to go, and now he's ready, and he said it. And he uttered these words. It is his choice. Has he deliberately chosen a league I'm not involved in? I don't know. What is certain, though, is that I will not manage in Germany. I make no comments. It's all the same to me.
What was he expecting him to pop up like Osasuna or something?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, Jose, do you want to ever get the reserve team job?
Yeah, but I love it, though, like you said earlier about Mourinho. Just there's no moral compass or whatever it would be there. Mm. Just likes a dig.
I read something today about a potential £200 million war chest for Pep.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have money to burn, isn't he? I think Bayern Munich is such an exciting prospect in the Champions League. They've been, you know, they've come close, and they've got some incredible players there already.
He's
got a great chance of building another, like, really special, like, legacy. Super team there. Yeah, and I don't know if there's another team in Europe that's better suited to sort of go on to beat that in anytime soon.
It's going to be very exciting to see what happens.
Jose will be waiting with whoever he'll be managing.
Jose's going to take the Dortmund job when Klopp goes to Arsenal.
But he said he's not going to do it. It's all the same to him.
He says a lot of things, Marcus.
That's very true.
I imagine he tells a lot of women he loves them and he doesn't really.
Oh, don't say that.
Ouch.
Now you're getting him confused with the second best manager in the world. Svennels. But
there's his mention. 40-odd minutes.
40-odd minutes,
yeah. We did well. There are suggestions from some in Spain that Madrid will be hoping to replace Jose Mourinho with Arsene Wenger this summer.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Because Arsene Wenger hates money, doesn't he? I wonder.
And I'd just like to say in that article, absolutely no quotes at all.
You wouldn't blame Wenger for trying to get away from that vicious banner culture at Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are just too high there. Just go a nice little cushy job at Real Madrid.
It's the sheet that broke the camel's back.
Ooh, excellent stuff.
If a sudden gust of wind comes up and that bed sheet gets taken across the pitch, it might land on him and suffocate him.
And he looks like a ghost. Weird coat.
A flapping
ghost.
Move on, Marcus.
I will do Athletic Bilbao.
Are we all ghosts in weird coats? Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Athletic Bilbao 3, Athletic Madrid 0.
Athletic Madrid.
What a typo.
You're an athletic.
You wrote it.
I was too busy thinking athletic with Bilbao. I got my O's. I missed out on O. It was an O amongst friends. Come on.
We forgive you.
Thanks. Athletic Bilbao beat Atletico Madrid 3-0. Shame.
It's a big result for Bilbao. They've been largely woeful this season.
They have indeed. And Atleti falling ever so much behind Barcelona. They're not going to catch them, Jim, are they?
No, we knew that.
Well, Bilbao did all that without Llorente. He's obviously agreed to go somewhere else and is out of favour.
But shall we go to Ligue 1? Paris Saint-Germain 1, Lille 0. How about that? What was the big story from this game? It was their goalkeeper, Salvatore Sirigu, who beat Bernard Lamar's record of Paris Saint-Germain record of 697 minutes without conceding a goal after he kept his seventh clean sheet in a row.
Yeah, and Bernard Lamar actually started his career for Lille as well.
Nice to think of Lamar, isn't it? It's been a while.
Last time PSG...
West Ham Hall of Famer.
Last time PSG conceded, I think in the league was on the 1st of December last year.
Wow. That's brilliant.
And a little fact as well, Zlatan scored 19 goals in 18 league matches so far this season.
He will do that.
Paris Saint-Zlatan.
Yeah, so they're flying high. Marseille dropped points, drawing away to Rennes Toul, 3 points behind leaders PSG and Lyon, who are both on 45 points. Apparently Joey Barton's having a nice time in Marseille. Hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't know it from his tweets though, would you? Miserable git.
Critic.
Right then, yes, Saffron Combinations time, people. It's what we all want.
I'm just going to keep doing that throughout this section where we talk about that.
Won't be vastly different to your output, Jim. Group A was dramatic. At one point, Group A, the other night, it was
topsy-turvy, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was like, at one point, all four teams were through at one point.
Yeah.
And the last 10 minutes, it kept changing hands, changing hands. But, and South Africa came out from 2-0 down and went through.
Morocco just looked absolutely crushed by that last goal.
No, 2-1. They were 2-1 down.
2-1 down.
Pete, who went through, though?
Cape Verde went through.
Cape Verde, following your philosophy, aren't they?
Indeed.
Of winning.
Did you see the streaker? I think that's the first time I've ever seen a black guy streaker.
Yeah,
fair enough. Right.
Have you ever seen a black guy streaker before?
I have not.
Never.
Did he have a pot on his head?
No, but
he had a pot on his balls.
He did jump on. He did jump in the net and got caught.
Oh no.
Jimmy jumps his muse.
Late goals for the Verde though. And
that sounded really sort of bashment.
Yeah.
Verde. Oh yeah, well that's
just the way you said it.
Verde might, I think Verde is green in Spanish, isn't it?
One of the most wonderful things you see in football is of course the celebratory pylon.
Oh yeah.
Involving subs and coaching staff.
Yeah.
And
I don't know how they get away with that every single goal.
Yeah. Pirate needs to have bibs involved.
Yeah, there were bibs. Yeah. Cape Verde got it going.
Yeah.
So shoddy goalkeeping.
Magnificent. I tell you what, though, the winning goal, he didn't make any.
Good finish. Yeah.
Gordon Bennett. But yeah, South Africa, they had a lovely celebration. They got a goal towards the end against Morocco. So they go through with Cape Verde from Group A. In Group B, the DR Congo are out. They drew with Mali.
To
Mali and Ghana. Yeah, Mali and Ghana go through. It's a shame for Congo because they're actually a decent side.
Look at that brilliant bum shuffling goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, I think they should have gone through. But Ghana, they progress, and as the Mali, so well done to them. In Group C, Zambia drew 1-1 with Nigeria. The two big boys yet to register a win so far, and they need something from their final matches because Burkina Faso thrashed Ethiopia 4-0. Faso topped the group. So, but Zambia and Nigeria both could progress. And I want Zambia to progress because that means more Harve Reynaud.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Surely Big Herb, we'll back you on that. He's after this tournament, he's going to leave Zambia and go somewhere else. Presumably he's going to go and get a job in Europe, is he?
Well, Real Madrid maybe.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, one handsome manager to another.
Yeah.
Ivory Coast, now, is it their time? I'm going to put my neck out.
No.
No, I think it is.
Yeah?
I really do. I think they can do it.
Does it annoy you, Jim, that Giovinno's actually decent for them?
Yeah, I was going to
leave. Of course it does.
I'm annoyed about it. I'm not even an Arsenal fan.
Lovely little Finn in their first game, and then he scored again in the RR Touré.
Touré's was magnificent as well.
Yeah, the coast are looking good.
They are. But, I mean, the pressure gets to them, doesn't it, traditionally, so...
Oh, they've been so close before. I think this is it.
I really do. Yeah. Last chance.
They're the strongest team in it by a million miles.
Drogba was on the bench, wasn't he?
That's how strong we are.
He is the bench.
And Togo registered a win against Algeria. Adebayor on the score sheet. Nice for Togo. Obviously, we remember in past African Cup of Nations that what happened to them. So excellent stuff. So it's come to life because we were a little bit worried in the first round of games. There's a lot of teams not scoring, but my goodness. What a flurry. Mm. What a flurry.
I'd like to see AVB give the African Cup of Nations a little bit more respect, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah. Has he not been watching it?
Spurs didn't even enter it.
He doesn't understand the position of the tournament, Jim. That's the problem, yeah.
Absolute disgrace. And now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. Seriously, guys, at least eight emails a day. I don't have 8 meals a day. That's someone else
that's
in the room.
That's me.
Eight emails a day and more than 10 to 20 messages on Twitter. I've got enough
tweets,
names. I've got enough suggestions for the name of the game. So thank you very much.
Literally,
if the Football Ramble went for another 50 years, I would have enough Who Wants to Be a Millionaire puns. Some of them aren't even game shows, which is funny. Like, wouldn't somebody did Love's Labour's Lost or something? What the hell?
That's very literary.
Never mind. Yeah. Right, this suggestion comes from a young man by the name of Neil Harvey. Davos Supermarket Sweep. Got there in the end. Yeah, got there in the end.
Like, yeah. I don't think you did that justice. Sorry about that, Neil. Pete,
sorry, I did, yeah.
It was so good he stumbled.
Right, I won the Champions
League. Stop, Davos Uka.
No, not Davos Uka. Really, I won the Champions League in 1995.
Stop, Ravinelli.
No.
Stop, Michael Reisiger.
No, but love it, hear that name. Jim, you want
to... Come on.
Stop, what, Danny Blind.
No, one guess per round this time, all right, lads.
We all know what we're doing here.
Yeah. I won two titles with Barcelona.
Stop.
I got there.
Go on.
I'll have Fernandy George.
No.
Oh, no!
Fernandy George.
Oh, I didn't listen to that. I was too busy.
Stop.
Oh, I know who it is.
No, I don't know.
Stop. Patrick Kluivert.
No.
No, no. What? No. Ruined your guess.
Ruined it.
Go on.
No? Okay. I signed a contract with an English club worth £10 million for 4 years.
Stop. Mark Overmars.
No.
Stop. Jordy Cruyff.
No. So bearing in mind, I signed a contract worth £10 million over 4 years. I started 4 games for this Premier League club. 4 games.
Stop! It's got to be Patrick Kluivert.
Well, it isn't.
It's not. 12 games in total I played for this club.
I'm going through the whole team who won the Champions League in 1995. I'm not going to tell you who it is, and I can't think of him.
I'm Dutch.
Stop, Edgar Davids.
No.
Stop, Clarence Seedorf. No, I can't even play.
No,
stop. Nicholas Bent. No.
Go on, carry on.
My routine in my final year for Chelsea was a daily commute to Amsterdam via Heathrow.
Winston Bogarde.
Winston Bogarde.
I said stop.
Yeah, you got it.
Damn. I've gone through the whole team. Damn. I've gone through the whole team with my mind. With my fallible human mind.
You don't sound like any of us.
Yeah. But his routine in his final year for Chelsea was a daily commute from Amsterdam via Heathrow.
Is that right?
Lovely. How that was allowed, I don't know.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, this is a very famous story, Marcus. He lived in Amsterdam and trained at Chelsea.
He knew he was never getting picked. He just didn't bother to try and get in the team. He just kept picking his money up.
I didn't think that was true.
Yeah.
He's now a fat guy.
Oh, happy fat guy. Yeah. Speaking of which, Luke, have we had any correspondence?
It's a dig. All right, I did the correspondence question this year, this week, which is about people's favourite FA Cup memories.
Oh, yes.
So I'm sure you've got a few of your own. Jamie Parkin starts off by saying, Arsenal won, Sheffield Wednesday won, 1993. I lost my virginity that night. Thanks, Ian Wright and David Hurst. Doesn't elaborate any further.
That was the final.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't elaborate on why he lost his virginity, Mark, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Friend of the Ramble, Murray James, says, Liverpool turning up to the 96 final dressed as the man from Del Monte / sex tourist / page boys at an albino wedding. Delish.
You can always count on Murray for a good answer.
Todd Wagner with a slightly more recent one. 2009, Everton 1, Liverpool 0. ITV cuts to an advert break at the 118th minute. Yeah. Everton's on. When it returns, Everton is celebrating a goal from Dan Gosling. We all remember that one. What else have we got here? Rory Byrne says Fabian Barthez sticking his hand up to psych out Paolo Di Canio just for Fergie's reaction. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
when he was offside.
Yeah. Di Canio scored 1-0 West Ham.
This is a brilliant one from Sean Wright. It's a bit of a sort of stream of consciousness one. It says 1997 Cup Final. Stayed up the night before making an FA Cup out of cardboard and tin foil. Had great fun. I was so excited about going down to Wembley. The flip side of this is that I'm a Borough fan and I hadn't even sat down when Di Matteo pinged one in. The trophy went in a biff of bin beyond a chip shop, as did my dreams and the season.
Well, at least he knows where they are.
Yeah. Benjamin James says Sam Haman being carried off of Ninian Park after Cardiff knocked out Leeds in 2002. The joy of the moment only beaten by the dye running down his face as his eyebrow paint gave way under the rain. And Ashwin Menon says Portsmouth in the final of the FA Cup beating Cardiff. Lols to be had everywhere with Carnew's goal in the final, then the debacle that followed in the years to come following that victory. Fuck off, Ashwin.
Yeah, that's it. Are we ending on that one?
That's the end.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Yeah. You were at that cup final.
I was. Yeah, on the semi and the Community Shield following that. Yeah,
cool.
And
Hartlepool Darlington back in the day, getting kicked in the head by a fully grown Darlington fan, even though I was about 14. So, well,
did you look
that,
but you look about 14 now, so that's fair enough.
Don't be rude. Mm.
Yeah. Don't be blue, Peter.
And now it's time for a profile.
Yeah.
Who have we got this week? I'll tell you. It's Paolo Roberto Falcao.
Ooh, not the original Falcao, not this one, the old one.
Yeah, not the remake.
The old one with the Buffon.
Can we call him Fat Falcao like we call Fat Ronaldo?
Is he a bit porky now, is he?
No,
it doesn't matter.
Oh, so we've got
new Ronaldo.
Old Falcao. It's not in any way disrespectful, and that's why I like it.
First Falcao.
El Phenomenon of Falcao.
Born on the 16th of October, 1953.
Oh, 14 years before the Summer of Love.
That summer. Mm. A Brazilian great. Mm. Really is. An underrated Brazilian great outside of Brazil, I think. The trouble with Brazil is that there's so many greats, you lose count, quite frankly. but one of the best midfielders they've ever produced. Also, one of, if not the best player... Well, no, we can't say the best player, but the second best player in the history of Roma. Tossy, obviously.
Well, I tell you what, they've not won an awful lot, and he won the league with them, as you'll probably come on to.
Well, I might come on to that.
Yeah.
He's one of the two bairns underneath the teats.
Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome.
I know, but I was being flippant.
Yeah.
A very iconic player, too. Now, he was just 11 years old when he went for a trial.
When he beat Scotland in World Cup 80.
and he was voted. He went for a trial at Internacional in Porto Alegre, along with about 300 other young hopefuls. Now, in Brazil, like many countries, the trials are stacked against you. If anyone's been to a trial, then they'll know that. But in Brazil, this was very much the case, and coaches would just glance their eyes.
300 kids at once.
Something like that, yeah. But coaches would just look at a player for, you know, 30 seconds, if that, a minute, and just be like, no, next. Yeah. So you really had to stand out, especially back then. But one of the coaches saw Falcao and said, the German has passed with flying colours. Now, the reason he was called the German is that anyone in Brazil, certainly back then, with fair skin or fair hair, they would acquire the title the German.
He does look a little bit German, actually.
He does, yeah. He
really does. I tell you what he looks like. For people who don't know what he looks like, he looks a bit like Art Garfunkel.
Yeah, he does.
Mm. Yeah.
If they had a big...
if you don't know what he looks like, you're probably not going to know what Art Garfunkel looks like.
He looks a bit like Falcao.
Yeah.
Work it out.
Mm. If they had a real big thing about Germans coming over, why did the Nazis go there? If they stuck out like a sore
thumb. I thought that, but decided not to say it.
Yeah. The boys from Brazil.
Yeah. I can't imagine if the two are linked or not, Pete.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Falcao is a Nazi?
No, I'm not saying that.
Anyway, come in. he's listening to this now, thinking I've been looking forward to this.
Well, he's not, because he isn't live.
No, it's true.
A few years later, he started playing professionally for the club and became one of Brazil's midfield greats. Played in the centre of the pitch wearing the number 5 jersey, which wasn't common back then, because that's when numbers meant something. So he was quite a different style of player. He was very good in possession, very comfortable with the ball indeed. He was a deep lying playmaker.
Mm.
Now, you don't get many of them to the pound in the modern game. But
a register.
But certainly back then, they were quite a real, quite a rarity. Well, as they are now, really.
Yeah,
obviously, Pirlo's one, but you can't think of that many others.
Modric.
He was the fulcrum of that international team, and everything went through him, and he'd set up shop just in front of the defenders, could break forward, would chip in with a few goals, and certainly his fair share of assists, I think it's safe to say. He started playing for the national team in 1976, was omitted from the 1978 World Cup squad due to a difference of opinion with a coach. Many in Brazil were outraged by this, because he was seen then as one of Brazil's best midfielders for many, many a year. And at club level, he inspired Internacional to 5 state championships, which, as we've often said before, back in the day were like league titles. 3 Brazilian league titles they won. Now, bearing in mind, the Brazilian championship had only just been set up in 1971.
Yeah.
which is a ridiculously good stat.
As we've obviously often mentioned, but to new listeners, if they don't know, that because of the infrastructure problems in Brazil and the size of the country, there wasn't a proper national league for a very long time, until very late on.
1971?
Yeah, a long time after they won their World Cups and stuff, so yeah. Interesting.
Mm. In 1979, Internacional went the whole season unbeaten, which I believe hasn't been matched since. So that was just a sign of how good that team was. And of course, he was the main man for that team. Now, in 1980, Roma in Serie A bought him for £650,000. Fellow Dwoffer Nils Lindholm was in charge of the Rome Giants at the time. Nils Lindholm, the Swede, the Gunnar Gren, and. And
Nordahl.
Nordahl, thank you.
I've read that, I mean, I'm not sure if this is absolutely true, but I've read that when he moved to Roma, he was the world's highest paid player. Is that true?
I think it was when he went to Roma, yeah.
Earning an estimated £10,000 a week, apparently.
Yeah, there's, according to reports, that's true, yeah. Which is incredible to think that...
In 1980?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, isn't
it? It's a hell of a
lot of money now.
Well, yeah. And then we linked up with Bruno Conti and Augustino Di Bartolomei in the midfield, and they were a flipping team, let me tell you. That was a great midfield.
Well, Di Bartolomei is an interesting character because, without sort of trying to tangent too much, but he missed a penalty for Roma in Champions League final. And he actually killed himself 10 years. I think it's a 10-year anniversary after that.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah, it's a really interesting story. Maybe we could talk about it a bit more on another show. But yeah, obviously it's about Falcao.
Well, during Falcao's time at Roma, they consistently challenged the big guns of Juventus, who had Michel Platini amongst them.
And there's a real battle between those two as well to be what the standout player in the league.
Yeah, well, Roma finished runners-up in his first season, won the Coppa Italia. And I mean, he was just absolutely loved there. I mean, he was a fantastic player. That Roma side, bearing in mind, Roma hadn't won the league since 1941, I think. And they've only won the league title three times in their history. So for them to finish runners-up was a big deal as well. Yeah. And he was an enormous part of that team.
They're a massive club for a club that hasn't won that much.
Yeah,
quite a unique position.
What was it, like three league titles or something?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But he came a real icon there, his trademark celebration, as we saw in the 82 World Cup, which we'll move on to. Both arms aloft and out wide.
His goal celebration was kind of like the Street Fighter Dragon Punch.
Yeah. Mm. It's like he was going to explode every time he scored a goal, basically.
He had fantastic technique, great stamina. Reading of the game and the quick thinking of the man was absolutely superb. And that curly hair.
Yeah,
iconic stuff.
That's the best bit.
Yeah, indeed.
Zico was his Paul Simon.
Well, he was one of the best players in Serie A whilst there, and he's considered by many as one of the best foreign players to ever graced Serie A, which is a massive tell.
Big John Charles,
yeah.
Liam Brady,
yeah, just to name a couple. On the Roma website, under their kind of Hall of Fame section, if you like, it states that he had all these qualities about, you know, great technique and blah blah blah, and it said which were only bettered by Totti. which I think basically is saying he's the second best player in the history of the club.
Bit of a dig.
Did Totti get the passwords for the FTP?
Yeah, he popped in the office. Can I just make a few changes on the website? Yeah.
Now, it was while he was at Roma that Tele Santana became head coach of Brazil and picked Falcao for the World Cup in 82. We've spoken about this World Cup a number of times before. Falcao played a very, very vital role in that fantastic Brazil side. He was reportedly the first name on the team sheet, which isn't bad considering Zico and Socrates were in that midfield as well.
And given that I would probably go from the top to the bottom to the keeper first, so it says a lot about his quality.
You've got to build the team somewhere.
True.
It's well documented that the Brazil side of 82 are one of the best sides never to have won the World Cup.
Falcao scored the fourth goal against Scotland. The game was about 5 minutes left. They're already 3-1 up, and he celebrated it like it was the World Cup winner.
Well, he celebrated that goal against Italy like it was, because that goal was to level it up in that famous match where Italy won 3-2.
Rossi hat-trick.
Rossi hat-trick, and that edged Brazil out. Brazil just needed a draw. They were 2-1 down. He scored a superb goal.
That was criminal defending, wasn't it? No one closed him down. He almost found himself inside the yard box.
A rasping drive.
A rifle.
But unfortunately for him and Brazil, Rossi made it 3-2, so they went out, and he was absolutely gutted by this. And he said, when looking back years later, he said, when the match was over, Bruno Conti came up to me and gave me a hug. And though we'd agreed to do it beforehand, he couldn't even bring himself to swap shirts. He felt so sorry for me that it looked like he was on the losing side.
Oh, right.
So I took my shirt off and stuck it in his hand and walked out the stadium with the Italy shirt, presumably via the changing room.
Yeah, he walked out.
But I mean,
I'm going to get in this car park.
He's still got your boots on.
Oh dear. But he returned to Roma after that, and because that's where he worked, and and helped them win their first Scudetto for 41 years. And he won Player of the Year as well that year, ahead of Michel Platini. So they beat Juventus, and he personally beat Platini, and he got the title, the eighth King of Rome.
Ah, nice.
Presumably there's been seven before.
Oh, otherwise it wouldn't make any sense. They won the Coppa Italia as well, didn't they?
They did. The year after.
Oh, was that okay? The year they won the Scudetto, they won it with 43 points from 30 games. 2 points for a win.
Yeah,
old school.
I remember the day.
There's no getting away.
Yeah,
stayed up easy.
Yeah, exactly.
A point was a perfectly acceptable result back then.
Yeah.
The following season, Roma reached the European Cup final in their own stadium against Liverpool, and they lost on penalties.
And Di Bartolomei, as we mentioned, missed the vital penalty, and 10 years to the day on, shot himself in the head. Terrible story.
You keep bringing it up, though, don't you?
That's interesting. Oh, I only want to talk about the Premier League.
I don't want to talk about the Premier League. Yeah. It's in the state of Newcastle.
Yeah, that's true. They did win the Coppa Italia that year, but the treble was on. They just lost out in the league, the European Cup. I mean, for Roma, the thought of winning a treble like that, obviously once in a lifetime kind of stuff, and it just slipped through their fingers.
Well, they didn't win the Scudetto again until 2001, did they?
I think that's right, yeah. Mm.
And a big Fabs, is that right?
Big Fabs, yeah.
big Fabs. Better than Big Weng.
Big Weng. Come on.
But not as good as Big Pimpin.
No, never is. His final season was blighted with injury and off-field antics became a problem. A Brazilian playing in Europe. I say in Europe, they do that in Brazil, but it's just not a problem in Brazil. It's standard.
On that, it's weird if you're not doing it. Brazil squad.
Loving it. Yeah. He only played a handful of games and scored just the one goal in his final season. He fell out with the coach and his time at Roma finished in 1985 after a fantastic spell with them, which saw the club reach highs that they'd never seen before or since, you could argue. But back to Brazil he went and signed for Sao Paulo and played out the remainder of his career there. He played with Brazil as well until they were eliminated from the 1986 World Cup, where he featured just a little bit. After playing, he soon became a manager, and he was managing the national team after Italia 90, but didn't really impress in the role. Stints with Club America, Internacional, Japan and Bahia all showed management wasn't his forte.
And I'm more troubled to bring you news that these days he does look a bit like a Brazilian Andy Gray.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame. I've got to tell the people the truth, though. You can't cotton wool these listeners.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, fine.
No. I'm sorry.
He looks a bit like Andy Gray, the record label boss in Waynesville with the cigar.
I can't think.
Look it up.
Okay. But there's no grey in that for me.
Okay, fine.
I don't know what he looks like, but I disagree with that as well. Okay. That's more Marcus and I win 2-1.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Again, another good victory over a two-legged affair. he left. If we just go back to his Roma career to finish, he left Roma at a similar time to Lidholm. And Falcao was forever grateful for the big Swede for him bringing him to Rome, or Roma. And he sent the Swede his number 5 jersey with a note saying, "Boss, I'm returning the shirt that you gave me when I arrived here. I can't do it in person because I know we'd get emotional. I'd like you to keep it as a reminder of our friendship."
Oh.
And he never spoke to Lidholm about this, but he bumped into Lidholm's son a few years later at Italia 90 and asked him if his father had received the shirt. And he said, "Nobody was allowed to touch it. He treasured it like it was a precious stone." Oh. But a very important player in Brazil's history, but also the history of the game, damn it all. There's not too many like him have graced the world's playing surfaces over the years.
Oh, he could do it all. He could break play up, he could pass the ball nicely, break forward. Yeah, great player.
Wonderful. And he's in to the Zinwinders Hall of Fame. Falcao.
Not as good as Totti, he got into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's already in?
Well, again, it just proves it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, if you haven't been on the website by now, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
to get on there.
That's very true. Jim, got anything?
Nope, nothing.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
actually, no. While you're giving me the opportunity to do a plug, I'm doing a show at the Camden Monarch on 29th of what month is it? January. It's probably going to be a bit mental because it's just me trying to work out some ideas for what to do in 7 months' time. But there's a proper show from Carly Smallman, who's very funny. So if you're in the area, come down.
Pete?
Got Biffy Clara on the show, Sunday Night Music Club, the 10th. Absolute radio. Yeah.
Say goodbye.
End it, just end it there.
Yeah?
It's fine.
Kill it. A bullet in its head.
Say goodbye, Jim. We're doing this properly.
Cigarette.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Sergi.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye, Luke.
I've got nothing.
Oh, bugger off, everybody.
Oh, I'm on the Biff.
Seriously, everyone, do go fuck yourself.
If you're thinking about not going to fuck yourself, fucking do it.
With
gusto, sirs and madams.
Enough. Goodbye.
I thought I was excellent in that show. You guys were okay. Well done.
That's got it at the end.
Sigurdu beat
you
Burnham.
You fucking idiot. You see that the same thing again?
Jesus Christ. Sigurdu. Sorry.
Read it.
I haven't.
You wrote it. You read it wrong, then you corrected yourself.
All right, let me do it. Let me do it.
What a great weekend for FA Cup. Or Fat Cup, as I
call it. Come on, the FA Cups, everybody. Let's all play footballs in the FA Cups. FA Cups for you and me. Footballs and the FA Cups.
The FA Cups still have its
magic. Cup. We should do an FA Cup song just for the FA Cup, mentioning no teams.
I think we just have Peter.
Darling, FA Cup. I love you. FA Cup.
FA Cup. FA Cup. We love the cup that is the FA Cup.
Kick the ball in the FA Cup net.
Going to Wembley, score lots of goals.
FA Cup is magic.
Some teams are not as well known as other teams in the FA Cup. FA Cup.
Silence.
Ich bin nicht billig, quack on den shit.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.